In Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24, along with Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9, we learn that Enoch and Noah walked with God. That is, they were in agreement with God, in fellowship with God. When you read Genesis chapter 5 along with Genesis chapter 6, you will see those two statements to be very encouraging when you consider Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, when the majority of the world walked not with God. In fact, we see in Genesis chapter 6 that every imagination of man's heart wasn't on God, but it was on evil continually. And so when we read through the Bible, I am thankful that we read about men like Enoch. We read about men like Noah and others who walked with God. As we think about this particular verb, walk, it is found some 96 times in the Bible. We see from the Old Testament and even the New Testament that this verb walk is used in a metaphorical way. It represents the way that one lives their life. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about as the word walk refers to the way a person lives his or her life. Again, this is best seen in the book of 1 John chapter 1. And consider what the Apostle John says. And we'll read verse 6 and also verse number 7. The Apostle John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth or do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so from what we just read, we can be walking in the light or we can be walking in darkness. If we are walking in the light, like Noah, like Enoch, then we are in agreement with God. We're in fellowship with God. The prophet Amos would say in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? If we're going to be in agreement with God, we can see from 1 John chapter 1 that we must walk in the light. Remember, the word walk refers to the way that we live. And so John is talking about a lifestyle. He is talking about a pattern, a lifestyle that denotes walking with God. As you know from the book of 1 John, there is a stark contrast between a Christian who's walking in the light and a non-Christian, a non-believer who is walking in darkness. It should be obvious that we are the children of God as we walk in the light. I want us now to open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. As I said, the word walk is found some 96 times. 8 of these are in the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at some passages from the book of Ephesians that mention the word walk. And as we do that, we'll be able to focus on the nature of the Christian walk. I believe as we study the book of Ephesians, we will get a better understanding of how God wants us to live as we just center our thoughts on this particular word that is found throughout the Bible. The first passage I want us to turn to from the book of Ephesians is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. As we go through these verses, we're looking for that word walk or walk, some form of the word walked. So turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is talking about their past life. Ephesians 2, verse number 2. He says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul is writing to Christians, and he is describing their former life in verse number 2 when he said, when you walked according to the course of this world. You see, as New Testament Christians, when we obey the gospel, we are to abandon this old lifestyle. We put to death the old man of sin and baptism. And in baptism, Paul says in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, that we are raised to walk in newness of life. There's our word again in the book of Romans. Again, we are to walk in newness of life. We're not to walk according to the course of this world. That describes our past life. In conversion, as you think about the word walk, we understand that there is to be a change. We live like this, but now we live like Christians, followers of Jesus Christ as we walk in the light. That will be a verse that we'll look at here in just a few minutes. But again, you see how this word is used here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. I want to mention something else from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that will help you understand what it means to walk with God or to walk in the light. As you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, when we walked according to this world, we were followers of the devil. We allowed the devil to influence us. He is described as the prince of the power of the air in verse number 2. And when we were under the influence of the devil, you'll notice at the end of verse number 2, we were, listen to this, children of disobedience. Now when you stop and think about what we're seeing in verse number 2, those who are walking according to the course of this world are disobedient to God. Those who are walking in the light are the opposite. Those who are walking according to the course of the world are disobedient. Those who walk with God, who walk in the light, they are obedient to God. Sometimes we wonder, what does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to walk after God? Well, just from the terms that we're looking at, we can see what it means to walk in darkness. Again, it means to be disobedient. If disobedience represents walking in darkness, obedience represents walking in the light. And so if I'm walking in the light, I'm being obedient to God. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. We see the word walk used again. Paul says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." His workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. In other words, it's an amazing thing that God can do with you, He can do with me through Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. As Brother Sam mentioned Psalm 51. Through the blood of Christ, we have cleansing from sin. We're now in a right relationship. We are justified before God. That is such a wonderful thing, an amazing thing that God can do through Jesus Christ. And Paul says, listen, now as Christians, you are God's masterpiece. You are His workmanship. In Colossians 2, verse number 12, you see in baptism, God working on our behalf. We see a change that occurs when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, when we obey the plan of salvation. And so Paul says, being that you are God's workmanship, verse number 2, created in Christ Jesus, here's our word again, unto good works. What is Paul encouraging us to do now that we're Christians? We are to walk after those good works. Remember, the word walk denotes a lifestyle. Before Christ, our works did not bring forth glory to God. They did not honor God. No, our works, our lifestyle separated us from God. But now our works bring glory and honor to God. And Paul says, you are to walk after those good works. Well, those good works that Paul is speaking of are good works by definition and by location. In other words, God's Word will define what good works are. But in order to walk in good works, we have to be in Christ Jesus. You cannot be outside of Christ Jesus and walk in good works. You have to be in Christ, and you have to allow the Bible to define those good works. And those good works are found throughout the New Testament. They really describe the lifestyle that we're to live. As we are kind and as we help others in this life through benevolence, that is a good work, and we are to live a life filled with good works. And so we see how the word walk is used just in Ephesians chapter 2, and it really gives us a better understanding of what it means to walk with God. It means I'm not going to live like I used to. That doesn't describe my life, my past that is. I now live a different life, a life that is filled with good works. Notice our next passage. Turn over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. There are a couple of times in Ephesians chapter 4 where we find the word walk. Look at verse number 1. Ephesians 4 verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation, is the King James translation, wherewith you're called. Paul is encouraging people to walk worthy, I like this translation, of their calling, of your vocation, of your calling. What is Paul saying here in verse 1? I want you to walk worthy of your calling. Here's the idea. I want you to walk worthy of the one who called you. Well, who is it that called us? Who is it that invites us? I believe we see that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, in the great invitation when Jesus invites mankind to come to Him to find rest. You see, God now calls us through the gospel of Christ according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 14. And if we're going to walk worthily of our calling, Ephesians 4, verse number 1, we have to live like Jesus Christ. You will find this thought throughout Paul's epistles. As Paul was writing the brethren in Galatia, he's going to make that statement. In fact, in Galatians 4, verse number 19, Paul was going through spiritual birth pains until Christ be formed in them. Paul was encouraging these Christians to walk worthily of their calling. So to walk worthy of the one who called them out of darkness into the light. He's encouraging them to live like Jesus Christ. And so as we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, if we are going to walk worthy of our calling, we must follow and live like Jesus Christ. The Apostle John will encourage the same thing in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, when John says, He that abideth in Him ought to walk even. There's the word walk again, by the way. We ought to walk, we ought to live as He lived. Paul, in Ephesians 4, verse number 1, is encouraging us to live a Christ-centered life. Our focus should be on Jesus Christ, not on this world, not on ourselves, but living like Jesus Christ. And the only way that we will live like Christ is by turning to His Word, having the mind of Christ, Philippians 2, verse number 5. The Holy Spirit says that we can have the mind of Christ, and I believe that's where it starts. When we have the mind of Christ, if we think like Christ, then we can live like Christ. But we have to have the words of Christ dwelling in us richly. Colossians 3, verse number 16. That comes through studying God's Word. That comes from living out God's Word. And when we do that, we will live like Christ. We will pattern our lives like Christ. And when we live like Christ, according to Ephesians 4 verse 1, we are walking worthy of our calling. Notice another passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. We're going to see the word found in this context. As I said, you study the book of Ephesians at least 8-9 times, you're going to find the word walk. You're going to find that verb in its form throughout this great book. And it's talking about a lifestyle. And really from the book of Ephesians, it's talking about our identity as New Testament Christians. We do have identity. We are followers of Christ. We are like Enoch. We are like Noah. We walk with God. That is our lifestyle. And that is seen throughout the book of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17 with me. Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Here the word walk is found a couple of times in one verse. But you see how Paul is using it in the negative? Don't walk. Don't live like the Gentiles. Again, the Gentiles represent the world that we live in. Remember, Paul says that we are to live like Christ. We are to walk worthy of our calling. We are to walk in good works that bring forth the fruit of holiness. Don't live, don't walk according to the course of this world. Go back to Ephesians. Don't be under the influence of the devil. Don't be disobedient to God. You walk in the light. Again, you walk with God. You produce, you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 20. Don't walk, don't live as other Gentiles that are in the world. And notice who walk, notice this phrase, who walk in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean, the vanity of their mind? Well, the idea is this. They're not thinking about God. Again, it's empty thinking. It's ungodly thinking. God is not in their thoughts. You see, that was a problem that we noted in Genesis chapter 6. Every imagination of evil was upon their heart continually. And again, if that's what a person is dwelling on, that's going to come out in their lifestyle. As a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs 23, verse number 7, so is he. If you are thinking like the world, Paul says you're going to live like the world. God won't be in your thoughts. How you think about God really matters. It affects the way that you live. And you can see the way people are living their life, and you know that they're not thinking about God. They're doing whatever is right in their own eyes. The problem is their minds are not focused on God. Their minds are not focused on the Word of God. Paul says, listen, don't live like the world. Read with me though, because Paul will continue to elaborate. This is what's going to happen if you allow your mind to dwell upon the world, worldly thoughts. Look at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened. Again, those who walk in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, they have the understanding darkened. They don't know between good and evil. They're also alienated. They're separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. But read verse number 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see why Paul is saying, I don't want you to walk. I don't want you to live like the Gentiles. Because if that's your thinking, if that's what you dwell upon, This is the fruit of that lifestyle. It separates you from God. It separates you from eternal life. It separates you from everything that is good. And listen, if you're thinking like that, verse number 19, you can even get to the point that you are past feeling. That is deep stuff. Getting to the point where you're past feeling. In other words, you can do something that is considered to be an abomination in the eyes of God, and it doesn't even cause you to blush. It doesn't even cause you to think on a spiritual level. And that's how so many people live their lives. They're not thinking about God. They are so blinded in their thinking and their understanding. Again, they do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't bother them. We don't want to ever get to that point in our life that we are living like the world, because if we do that, we can see what happens. By the way, verse number 19 is talking about the conscience. The conscience. The conscience is what discerns between good and evil. In Hebrews 5:11 through 14, we are to have a very active conscience that helps us to discern between good and evil. But if your mind is on the world, your conscience is going to become seared, and it can get to the point that it stops working. By the way, this is serious. Paul is writing this to Christians. It's implied that even a Christian can get to the point that they are past feeling, that they don't even care anymore. It has happened. And I think all of us know of people who that has happened to. People who at one time were faithful to God, who walked with God, who were in agreement with God, who were in fellowship with God, but they stopped growing, they stopped developing, their mind became darkened, and they got to the point that they didn't care, and they wandered away from God. Now you talk to those individuals, and they don't even want to talk to you. They could care less what God said. Don't get to that point. Don't allow your mind to be corrupted. Remember, we're to walk worthy of our calling. We're to walk in good works. That means from this passage, our mind, it needs to be focused on God. Because how we think about God affects the way that we live our life. If we're going to walk with God, we have to be thinking on a spiritual level. We cannot be carnally minded. Paul says in Romans 8, verse number 6, to be carnally minded, to be worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at another passage, if you would, from the book of Ephesians. We'll highlight three more, and they're all from chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, verse number 2. We'll begin at verse 1, but focus in on verse 2. We'll look at these very quickly. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Look at what it says now. Walk or live in love as Christ also had loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Again, Paul says we are to walk in love. Look at Ephesians 5, verse number 2 as the characteristic of this walk. This talks about the characteristic of this godly walk. We are to walk in love. In other words, this is the motivation behind what we do, the way that we live. The motivation has to be right. We can't walk with God to be seen and praised by men. That can't be our motivation. You see, that was the motivation of the Pharisees. And you remember what Jesus said about them? In Matthew 5, verse 20, He says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you can be no part of My kingdom. Don't be self-righteous is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. That's not walking in love. You see, to walk in love denotes humility.
In fact, when you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, again, you see more characteristics of this worthy walk. Look at verse number 2. Notice how we are to walk. Notice how we are to live. Verse number 2, not only in love, but with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Think of verse number 2 as the fruits of love. You walk in love, Ephesians 5 verse 2, that's what it looks like, Ephesians 4 verse 2. Highlight those characteristics, lowliness of mind. You see, the godly walk, it has to start right here with humility. We're talking about total humility. Some people despise that attitude. Some people will even see that as a sign of weakness. But if we're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, children of light, it must begin right there with humility. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. And Paul says, not only are we to walk in lowliness of mind, but we are to walk in meekness, the idea of gentleness, self-control. We cannot just think and do whatever we want. We have to have some self-control. You see, walking with God describes a life that is disciplined. A life that follows the rules of God. And I know some people don't like that terminology, but I do because it's biblical. You read the book of 1 Timothy. You read the book of Philippians, and you'll find the word rules. We are to walk according to the same rules. Philippians 3, verse 16. God has rules, and we're reading about those rules. We're reading about a certain kind of walk, a certain kind of lifestyle. Verse number 2, in lowliness of mind, with meekness. Notice, with long-suffering. The idea is with patience. We know how to be impatient. God wants us to be patient with one another. And then He says this, forbearing one another, here it is, in love. All of this has to do with love. Again, Ephesians 5, you walk in love. This is what it looks like. Ephesians 4, verse number 2, forbearing one another. Literally, if you were to look up this word in the original language, it's translated like this. You learn to put up with one another. God's that straight with us. You learn to put up with one another. You realize that there are some funny things about you. I've noticed that. And I know you've noticed plenty of things about me. Little things. We don't allow those little things to get under our skin. Those little things don't bother us because we're children of God and we walk in love. We put up with one another in a good way. Forbearing with one another. We're gentle with one another. We're patient with one another. And again, if that describes our life, then we are walking with God. Again, a lifestyle that must be present if we're going to be faithful to God. Look at Ephesians 5 verse 8. Ephesians 5 verse 8. We've actually talked about Ephesians 5 verse 8 already from the book of 1 John. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Now, let me fill in the blanks. Paul says, at one time you were in darkness. Go back to Ephesians 2 verse 2. You were under the influence of the devil. You walked in darkness. You were disobedient to God. That's what it means to walk in darkness. But notice the contrast, the stark contrast. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk, live as children of light. Again, cross-reference 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, because this denotes something. Walking as children of light denotes obedience to the Word
of God. You see, walking as children of light, another way of stating, another way of developing this idea, is really predicated upon two things. Number one, knowing the truth. And number two, obeying the truth. You cannot obey that which you don't know. And so I must know the truth. I must learn the truth. And then I can obey the truth. And when I live a life of obedience, I am walking in the light. I tell you what, this is one that I struggled with for years. What it really meant to walk in the light. Think about Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were walking in all of the commandments of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Great definition of what it means to walk in the light. It means that you're striving to live a lifestyle of obedience to God, not of perfection, because we're not perfect. John makes that very clear. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. New King James, we're not practicing the truth. We're not living according to the truth. If we become so self-righteous and self-arrogant that we say, you know what, I never struggle with sin anymore. I've become that holy and that strong. God says you just deceived yourself. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Don't allow your mind to get to that point. Sin is something that you will always struggle with. It's something that you fight against as God's obedient children. Walking in the light describes a lifestyle of obedience to God. And so Paul is encouraging these Christians here in verse number 8 to walk as children of light. And then our last verse, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, when you read verse 15 and 16, you know, when we live according to the course of this world prior to conversion, being under the influence of the devil, being disobedient to God, all we ever did, according to this verse, was waste valuable time. But now that you are children of God, walking in the light, the Bible says that we are to redeem the time. How do we redeem the time? By walking circumspectly. Now, interesting word in the original language. It describes an acrobat that walks across a tightrope. We've all seen those individuals walk across that rope, and they'll hold that stick and they'll put one foot in front of another. They walk very carefully across that tightrope as they cross from one canyon to another. That's how we're to live our lives as New Testament Christians. That's what it means to walk or to live circumspectly. And what a challenge that is. To be that Christ-centered, to be that devoted, not allowing ourselves to be seduced by the secondary, but to keep our focus and to keep our mind on God. Don't live like the rich farmer did in Luke chapter 12. You can see what life was all about for him. Take thine ease, drink, eat, be merry. Live life up. Realize God called him a fool. He wasn't walking circumspectly. He wasn't redeeming the time. You see, we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ according to 1 Peter 1, verse number 18. When I take 1 Peter 1, verse 18, and I put it with Ephesians 5, verse number 16, God's redeemed people redeem the time. They buy it up. They don't waste time. They use it wisely. And we use our time wisely when we live for God, when we walk with God. Like Noah and like Enoch. From the book of Ephesians, we have learned a lot about what it means to walk. This verb can help us understand the nature of the Christian walk. God wants us to live a certain way
And we can live a certain way because we have God's instructions. It might be that you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to make that determination from this day forward, I want to walk with God. And that starts by being obedient to God's plan of salvation. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of my sins, confessing Christ, being baptized for the remission of my sins so that I can be cleansed, so that my sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that I can be in a right spiritual state with God, so that God will add me to His kingdom, to His church, so that I can be in the right location and do the right thing now as a child of God. All of that takes place in baptism. God will change you. Upon your obedience to the gospel, again, God will change who you are. All things will be passed away, and behold, all things will become new. And we walk in newness of life, keeping our mind, keeping our focus on God. It might be that you are a child of God, and you thought about your life this morning from the book of Ephesians. Have you allowed your mind to wander away from God? Have you allowed your life to wander away from God? Is God the most important thing to you this morning? If not, I pray to God that you will change that. That you will change your lifestyle and that you will live for God in the here and now so that you can live with God forever. We want you to know that we're here to encourage you. We're here to help you. We're here to pray for you. If we can help you walk with God, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.